We're blessed to have such incredible combinations of readings during the Easter season that help us enter into the great gift of the resurrection. And as I went through these readings, a thing that struck me was how in the gospel, Jesus three times tells them, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. He offers them again a third time when he appears again, "Peace be with you." So much does he want them to have this peace, and this peace that only he can give. As I thought about peace, I thought about, in contrast, our world and how big a mess that it can become, how big a mess we can make of it. And I thought of actually the book of Revelation, which we had done a little study one night on earlier this spring, about kind of that sign of what the world has instead of the four horsemen. You know, instead of the peace of Christ, you have the four horsemen of the apocalypse active in the world. You have conquest, domination, bloodshed, the horsemen of famine, the horsemen of pestilence, of disease, which we have known so well. So what does the peace of Christ consist of instead of kind of the turmoil that the world offers us instead? And as I kind of pondered that, I thought, well, you know, what seems to be here in these readings, what I kind of drew from them were, instead of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, what Christ gives to us are four horsemen of peace, four horsemen of divine mercy that I think really help us unpack what is this peace that Christ extends to us? What is this divine mercy that is granted to us? And so let me highlight for you what I think these four horsemen are. That comes out of the readings we have today. And so the first one that seemed to leap out for me, so to speak, was the horseman of Christ's victory in the resurrection. This great fact of his victory. You know, when you go to the gospel, you see it at one point, you know, Jesus shows them his wounds. He showed them his hands and his side. You know, and a way to look at that is to see those really as battle trophies, as what he has gone through, what he has overcome. Look at what I went through, and I stand before you, risen, alive, breathing the Spirit upon you. It's a mark of this great victory that Christ has won. And we see that also in our second reading from Revelation, where John has this vision of Christ. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld." This is this great victory that God has given us. And this is the heart of divine mercy, this sorrowful passion that then leads us into Christ's victory over sin and death, and God grants us that victory, and that changes really the horizon of everything, knowing that Christ has conquered death, and as we encounter that, he leads us through it to his victory in the resurrection. So the first horseman, as opposed to that destructive one of conquest and domination in the world, is Christ's victory of the resurrection. And then the second horseman that leapt from the page for me was the forgiveness of sins. Such an important thing that Christ desired to give. In the gospel, what does he tell the disciples? "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Jesus indeed has won for us the forgiveness of our sins. Again, in that sorrowful passion that he undergoes for us. And then he gives us this incredible ministry of being reconciled to God. He shares that with the church, St. Paul describing it as this ministry of reconciliation. And we're given that through the church by God, first in that sacrament of baptism, and then after baptism in that beautiful sacrament of confession and reconciliation. And this forgiveness of sins is not simply, okay, the demerit points, you know, I get erased on my little score sheet or something like that. It's so much deeper. It's being restored to authentic and true friendship with God. And in having that friendship with God, becoming more and more like Him, and becoming more and more like God, going more deeply into that friendship and this beautiful rhythm of grace that this forgiveness of sins opens up to us in our lives. And then it's this forgiveness and reconciliation with God that's the true basis for any kind of reconciliation among each other. And then for a third horseman, instead of that horseman of famine, that great deprivation leading unto death, instead we're given the horseman of belief, the gift of faith. Our gospel concludes by saying this: these signs that Jesus did are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in His name. Belief is something that gives a certain kind of vision, really a truer vision to things beyond what we can normally perceive and tell with our very limited human capacities. And what's proposed to us is that vision, that truth, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And He is the Son of God with that authority and that power indeed to save us. And with that allows us with that kind of vision of the truth then to order our lives in a new way according to that faith, according to that vision of how we live, of what we choose, of what we hope for, of how we dare to love, all coming from that vision. But faith doesn't give us just simply new vision. It also helps us to connect with deeper spiritual, supernatural reality than what we simply have access to in our own limited human nature. Faith then becomes this conduit for grace, for God's transformation in our lives. And that's why the gospel says that through this belief, you may have life in His name. That's just not kind of another dose of regular old limited life, but this life that eventually blossoms into this eternal life God wishes to give us. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his wonderful Summa, he looks at how Christ did this great act of His passion and then His resurrection, this act that happened by Him. And He did that, you know, fully in His humanity as well as divinity. His humanity allowed Him to undertake this for us. But because of His divinity, being the Son of God, as the gospel says, He accomplishes a deep spiritual reality for us. And how do we get spiritual contact with that? Well, Thomas says, by faith and the sacraments of faith. And so faith in all the ways we live that, like in the sacraments, gives us contact with that divine mercy that God has given us. Now, on the other side of that is our friend, our doubting Thomas that we have today. And you can see how his heart is kind of hardened against belief with kind of the very kind of brazen demands that he's making in order to believe. When Jesus does appear to him and, you know, kind of call his bluff right there, okay, put your fingers in, put your hand in my side. Jesus then says to him, have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Those who have not seen, you know, and yet they have believed. Who is Jesus talking about here? Well, first of all, this is in the Gospel of John. If you recall, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, you have this disciple, who we think is John, and Peter, they go dashing off to the tomb at word of the report of an empty tomb. Peter kind of goes in. He goes in first, kind of looks around, and then leaves. You know. And then here is this beloved disciple. He looks in. He sees the empty tomb, but the folded burial cloths. And what does it say? And he believed. This beloved disciple, connected to the Lord, and this order of love and of charity is able to see and believe so beautifully. And then I think Jesus extends that to us, who are not there right at the beginning, but having not seen, yet we still believe because of this great, incredible testimony, Holy Spirit-powered testimony and evangelization that has gone out from these first disciples, from this encounter with the risen Lord, and is still power and truth, the power and truth for us today. And so faith is a gift. It's something that is given to us. It's not just simply, okay, I kind of do my deductive reasoning and okay, I'm all set, I'm convinced. Because it's beyond us, what is being given to us, this supernatural life, it's beyond us just to simply kind of reason our way through it. Faith doesn't work in any way against reason, but it actually extends us to be able to know even deeper truths. And given that faith is a gift then, well, we need to protect that gift. We need to nurture that gift. One image I could give you would be when I first came here, a little kid from the parish gave me a little plant as a gift, one of these little succulents. And I kept it, and I've watered it, and I put it by the window. It gets light, and amazingly, you know, 5 years later, the thing's actually still alive, you know, and probably not just thanks to me. I mean, I forget to water it fairly often, and I'm sure a few people on the staff going on rescue missions and watered as well, but be that as it may, it's nurtured, it's taken care of, and it's given light. And in that, then the gift grows, the plant grows, and that faith grows as we do that. And so how am I living my life? Is it a life that is guided by my faith, that uses my faith so that it continues to grow? Is it a life that reinforces the gift of faith given to me? When I think about Thomas, it's noteworthy that first Sunday, you know, he wasn't there, and he missed out on encountering Jesus. And then what happens? You know, there's this incredible encounter with Jesus, but it isn't like he's still gone and he just meets Jesus somewhere. Where is he? He's back with the disciples, and there he encounters Jesus. There he is moved to make this incredible declaration of faith, my Lord and my God. And so for us in our faith, how important it is to be with other disciples, not in some kind of defensive huddle or something like that, but to be around others who have that same awareness of the truth, who have encountered the Lord, who live by the same teachings Jesus has given us. That only helps reinforce the faith, that gift we've been given. And then the fourth horseman of peace, of divine mercy, as opposed to that reality of pestilence and disease, we are given the horseman of the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we declare him in our creed, the Lord, the giver of life. In the gospel, it says that Jesus breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. In our first reading, we see how the Holy Spirit is definitely at work among the disciples in very extraordinary ways, in this critical beginning of the church, of the faith. It says, many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. Indeed, that Holy Spirit that they had received was working through them. And look at Peter, his horrendous betrayal of Christ and denying him three times, and then his seemingly kind of inert faith in encountering the empty tomb, and yet breathed on, receiving that Holy Spirit. You know, we see him now at work to such an extent, the Holy Spirit working through him, that even his shadow falling on the sick, the ill, gives them healing. Jesus, when he gave them the Holy Spirit, he said to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so part of the giving of the Holy Spirit is this sending in the Holy Spirit out into the world. And And that's what this horseman, so to speak, calls us to. When we're sent out into the world as Christians, it's not simply, again, with our own resources, simply by my own gumption and grit, you know, though gumption and grit are important things, but it's in the Holy Spirit, the power, the life of God. And as Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, I came to cast fire upon the earth. And he does that in the giving of the Holy Spirit from the Father and giving it to you and to all of us. And so that's why our Easter season concludes with that beautiful, magnificent solemnity of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit descends upon the church. And so, my brothers and sisters, these are the four horsemen of peace, of divine mercy that kind of jumped out for me. Instead of the dark horseman of domination and conquest is the horseman of Christ's victory over death in the resurrection. Instead of that horseman of bloodshed is the horseman of forgiveness. Instead of that wretched horseman of famine, of deprivation, is instead the horseman of faith, that great giving of faith to us. And instead of the horseman of pestilence and disease, is instead the horseman of the gift of the Holy Spirit. How abundant, how incredible is God's divine mercy towards us. So I encourage you to pray into these readings yourselves. Maybe what horseman of peace and mercy jumps out for you? Maybe the one that the Lord is especially calling to you in these times, but these Sunday readings, especially during Easter, are so powerful, so illuminative of the hope that we have. You know, the world is full of reports of these horsemen of the apocalypse, and we can let our hearts and our minds just be constrained, curtailed, and aggravated by all of these, and we miss out on the deeper victory Christ has given us. And so I encourage you to meditate upon these things. And in doing that, then, so we are able to receive more deeply the divine mercy God has shown us through Jesus Christ. And that mercy may be your peace.